smoking. Lock it in. Okay, we're going to finish up salvation, and we're going to try to go on through all of eternal security tonight so that we can move into the church, so we can get the church going, because we have about 4 weeks left, if I'm not mistaken, so that I can pretend like I can start doing other things on Wednesday nights. Now, remember, the last Wednesday that we have the class, we'll start having some of the elders and different people will come in to talk with you about joining, if you want to join, if you agree with everything, what ministry you like to think about working in and serving. And we want to make sure we do how to study the Bible for one of our last sessions. Okay?
Amen.
Okay? We'll do how to study the Bible. It's a great study. If this is how I study. I've started years ago. I didn't know how to study the Bible. I became a Christian. In a high school assembly, just prayed by myself and said, okay, God, if I'm going to be a Christian, then I knew how to play football. I knew how to make all A's. I was an honor roll student. So I said, God, you become my coach. If you're going to be my coach, I got to do what you say do. You don't ask the coach why if you want to start on his team. You trust the coach know what he's doing, especially if he's a winner, and you do what he say. Plus, you got to know his playbook. So if this place says you got to do this, that's what you do, because that's where it has been designed to work. So I said, God, you're now my coach, and the Bible is now my playbook. So at 16, I graduated from high school when I was 16. So at 16, my senior year in high school, I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and pick the Bible up and have anyone to teach me, and I'm going to study the Bible like I got to take a test on it, just like I do any other test book. And 4.5 years later, through college, I finished studying the entire Bible like I had to take a test on it. And the way I studied my test book and the way I studied the Bible, I developed my own way to study. And that's why you hear me a lot of times when I say, well, I've gone through this and I don't agree with the commentaries. And it's not that I think I'm smart, it's just the fact that I think many men have been taught by someone else and have took it for granted. That's what it says. And that's why I've come up with the whole saying, most people believe the Bible because they do not know what it says. Okay? So we're going to talk about that. We'll walk through and watch what happens. I think you will really, really enjoy catching out. It took me 4.5 years to study the book of Romans. Then I taught it for 4 years. And after 8.5 years in the book of Romans, I realized I didn't know Romans. It took me 2.5 years to study the book of Philippians. I can't even tell you how long it took me to study Genesis. I mean, it was almost a decade studying Genesis. And that brings me up to doing a little mediocre study. Anyone can do a devotion. Alright? But if you really want to study the Bible, you have to have a systematic way of doing it. And you got to do it when you're not tired. My best time is about 11 o'clock at night. I have to study when I'm tired. Because as long as I'm tired, I do not put my own thoughts and views in. So anywhere, you know, get the kids to bed, go lay down, my wife goes to sleep, I get up, come in. I got to have complete, absolute, 100% nothing going on when I study. And I can study. Now, it's just as hard for me to sit down and study today after 35 years as it was the first day I sit down and start studying. Just as hard. The only difference is once I sit down, if someone don't interrupt me, I can be there for 5-6 hours. Just built in endurance up. That's all it is. But it's just sit down and do it consistently. It's just as hard because everything can get in the way of you studying. Once I sit down and get in it, and I've woken my family up, my kids at night, you know, just jamming with the Lord. Whoa! My wife comes. Now, did I miss something? Yeah. What's going? What be going on? Oh, sweet. Okay. We're on salvation. Oh, what we non-believers should be saying. You know what I'm saying? Help me, pal. Save me. And we went through salvation depravity. What does depravity mean?
No good about
you. Absolutely no good in you outside of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word tonight. Thank you for what you want to accomplish and do with us all. Remove our thoughts and our minds, Father, from what we have previously thought the scriptures say. Open up our heart and minds to see what it does say and allow us to join in what you have written instead of what other men have taught. Thank you for the opportunity we have to see our lives change because we are in the Word. In your Son, most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
Praise God. You guys are smoking. All right. We went to salvation and depravity. Sounds like my buddy James, doesn't it? Before the fall, everything was peaceful. No bad breath. That was sweet, wasn't it? No zits. No out of shape shapes. Everything was sweet. You could eat stuff, man, and calories was removed. No diseases. That all came with sin. Just think about that. If you had a garden before the fall, no problem. No weeds would grow, no thorns. We just lived. And Adam and Eve, mom and dad, messed it up pretty badly. Can I get an amen? But the worst part about it is, if we was in the garden, we would have been named Saddam Hussein right now. We would have messed it up too. And that's where the Garden of Eden is, right? You guys know that. Well, everyone thinks the Garden of Eden is. It's right there in Iraq between the Tigris and the Euphrates. It's the best place that we can come up with biblically where the garden was. And if you look at Israel today, it's totally desert, dead, and it looks nothing like it was in the original time. During early church history, that they had a war with Israel and some of the factions was coming in to take Israel, and they lost more army to wild animals coming through the forest than they did in the battle against Israel. Now think about how we see Israel today. We think about it as being just desert, when it used to be just a complete beautiful forest. Sodom and Gomorrah down south was God wiped out and said and nothing would never go down there again. And it's big salt licks. Lot's wife grew. Some of you guys will get that on the way home. Okay, so that's what happens with the fall. Got flushed down, all the good stuff got flushed down the toilet. After fall, we talked about the mind, and we talked about the acts, and we talked about the response to God. Alright, we went through those. You guys got all your notes? We go good? We good? Okay. Then we started with salvation. It is God's plan now that the Holy Spirit be at the apex. The last one we studied in the Trinity was what? What part of the Trinity?
Holy Spirit.
Why? Because we went through the purpose of how the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father works. And we moved on into history, studying God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit without you knowing it. Even went through the period of what Christ was on the earth, what he did. And now we're going through what? The responsibility of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit was given after Christ left. And he says, I will send you what kind of comforter? What? Huh? A down comforter. Very good, my brother. I'm a great teacher. But it's getting suspect. So, another comforter. I will send you another comforter. And we went through my whole aspect of how can I have another nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie if I hadn't had the first nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie. So you got to have the first nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie before you can have another. So what does it mean? I'm going to send you another comforter. The one that was already here, who was it? Jesus the Son, walking in the flesh before there was Epiphanies, Theophanies, whether it's secular or spiritual, whichever words you're going to use. And where God had come down temporarily in the flesh, spoken face to face. But when Christ came, it was more of a permanent 33-year experience. And that great, I mean, if you just walk through the Bible, it's amazing how orderly God is. He says, I'm going to give you another comforter. What does that mean then to you and I when it comes to the Holy Spirit? If he is our other comforter, what does that mean? Whew. We didn't talk about that maybe, huh? What that means is that God expects you and I to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit as the disciples had with Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine walking with Jesus for 3 years and having an independent spirit? Don't hear anybody. Can you imagine, basically, Jesus says, let's go down from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee, excuse me. We spent more time going that way than down towards the Dead Sea. We'll go down to the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples say something like this. Well, you know, that's a long walk. And you know, Jesus, you're a power walker. Jesus had to be a power walker, you know what I'm saying? Can you imagine them saying, Sinbad. You ever seen him do that one? Oh, that's a funny skit there. Sinbad going, here's a disciple trying to keep up with Jesus. Jesus, stop! And Jesus going, come on, boy, you tired? Come on. Oh, Jesus, slow down, baby. You're God. God is never going to do what? Get tired of leading. You may get tired of following, but he'll never get tired of leading. So as you are in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples, you see, they asked, they listened, they obeyed. Now the same relationship that they had with God the Son, God the Father and the Son expects you and I to have the same type of relationship with the Holy Spirit, in control, controlling us, sealed, empowered, so that there isn't a burnout of believers. The only way a believer can burn out, two ways. One, out of their gifting, what we just finished. If you're using your gift, you don't burn out. It comes natural and easy. And two, sin and not listening to God. Those two things will burn you out. Okay? When people tell me, I'm tired of burnout, I just can't do it anymore. You've been doing it for a long time on your own effort, see? So they don't tell me often anymore. They may tell me once. But they don't come back and tell me again. Okay? So we're dealing with salvation. God had to come up with a plan in order to get man who had fallen away to be right with him. And he did that on his own. And we talked about how important are you and I when we start thinking about salvation. How important are you and I? All important. To come to grips with the fact that a holy God, a true holy God, will think you're worthy to die for. So anyone that comes to me and say, well, get off of that false humility in front of me. Can you imagine me telling my wife, oh, I'm just not worthy to have you, dear. Oh, I'm just not worthy. Now, what have I just done to her choice? What did I just do to her choice? I insulted her choice. I told her, you could have done much better than me. But evidently you was afraid you weren't going to get married, so you just grabbed me. Black, freckle-faced Philistines, uncircumcised, don't know what's going on. You have to watch out how we do. We don't go brag. I don't go brag. Yeah! Yes, he chose me. She was not a youth guy. Now, that's a bad humility. That's a wrong aspect of belief. So every Christian has to have a balance in order to walk with God correctly. We don't deprave ourselves by making ourselves lower than what we are. We do not uplift ourselves. The Bible says that any psychologist, psychiatrist that tell you to think highly of yourself don't know the Bible. You tell me what most of the positive thinking is today. You got to raise your thoughts of yourself. You got to raise your thoughts of yourself. Please, that's a problem anyway. Someone who don't like themselves is lying. As a matter of fact, you like yourself so much, you can't believe that you're being treated the way you've been treated. If you don't like yourself, you ought to feel good about being treated bad. You'll get an amen on that. As a matter of fact, you know, I think so much of myself, I should have got that best looking guy. And God, I can't believe you gave me the hair you gave me. What did you just say? If you think you're saying I don't like myself, what you're saying is I'm too good for what you gave me. I wish one of these days I'm going to do a class on self-image. We're going to break a whole bunch of lies that's been taught even in the church. I'm having fun. Y'all having fun in this way? People going, I don't like what you're talking about. Move on, man. So he had to make it a gift. Can I get an amen on that? But that was a cost. Okay? Cost was the Son. Free gift to you and I. Man's effort. They'll throw up on. Amen. We had that. It is so, oh, your best effort was like what? Filthy rags. You don't have to explain that anymore, but you know what that was. Can I get an amen on it? Who wasn't here last week? Okay, if you weren't here last week, you know it says your unrighteousness, your righteousness is like filthy rags. It was classified as the biblical menstrual rags of a woman. That's the best you can do before God. And that was means you are totally separated, unclean. Your best makes you totally separated, unclean with God. Woo! Are we glad it was a gift? We rolled on that one last week, man. Was that smoking? Huh? That's just double chilling. I've been in every one of these classes I taught. And every time I teach this class, I get more excited about it. You just can't get tired of who you are. You can't get tired of God. No, man! What he's done, how he did it, and magnificently focused on it coming back to himself. I mean, get this. Nope. That's Jewish. Some Southern Jews. All right, God's choice. Now, did we get excited about God's choice? I mean, God chose you. You did not choose God. Whoa, Pastor. Well, what about those he didn't choose? He can't be fair. Predestination and free will. We ain't got into that one yet, have we? Which is the mind boggler. We'll get into that. Hopefully tonight, if you don't ask him any questions. Okay. Your response and God's power. Those two spoken. In your book, God's power comes first. If I'm not mistaken, amen. Okay. Your response. It's not even up to you. Isn't that amazing? Did we add some verses to this one? Did we add a verse? Did we look at the Ephesians verse? Did we? Okay. And that is, it's the gift that God gives you. God gives you the faith to respond. That's why no man will be with excuse. Okay? And then God's power. What is the only reason why you and I have a plan B? What's that?
Plan A might not work.
Plan A may not work. What is two reasons why plan A's don't work?
Bad plan.
It'd be a bad plan because you didn't have all the information. And what's the second reason? You don't need to see the future. You need any power. You don't have the power to make sure nothing goes wrong. Now, ask your question. Does God have any one of those problems?
Nope.
That's why God don't have plan B. You understand that? When God says something in His Bible, in His Word, it's because He has collected all the ifs that ever could possibly be an if, when they were ifs, and if they could be an if, and He has answered all the ifs and made a decision, do it this way. And then He has all the power to make sure that it's going to happen that way, and nothing's going to intervene, and you never, ever heard God go, oops. I've never gone to God, confessed my sin, and heard Him gasp in surprise. You what? I didn't know that. You know, I mean, that's the God we serve, guys. I mean, He's the ultimate possession of all ever to be in you and I, possessing you and I, living in you and I, leading you and I, God. You can't get any better than that. But we're constantly looking and searching and wanting more. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
To be entirely, totally content in something, if you're going to be, let it be in God. Alright? Alright?
Alright.
Don't go alright.
Alright.
Alright. I take it, man. Even though you're wearing that little polo horse there. Alright. We come in from Adidas, baby. You can get accepted in this class. Woo! God is contentment. Does anyone know, did I give you my definition of contentment? You guys remember that? I didn't? I thought I did. I didn't? Contentment is having joy where you are and being satisfied with the speed God takes you to the next place. If you don't have, if that's not what you live, you are not content. If you're not content, do you understand why your prayer life can be hindered? We already talked about how we should pray. So what's contentment? Having joy with where you are, regardless of what's going on. Regardless of how bad it is. Do you know discontentment makes us make a lot of bad decisions? Being joyful where you are and what? Being satisfied with the speed of God taking you to the next place. Contentment is based on faith in God, nothing else. Okay? So if you want to be content, spend time getting to know God. You find out He's worth trusting. Okay, now we're ready for new stuff?
No?
Well, I'm going anyway. Eternal security. Eternal security. A lot of people say, you shouldn't teach this. You don't teach about eternal security. I said, why is that? Because Christians find out they can't lose it, they get lazy. Can I get an amen on that, huh? I'm about to praise the Lord. Then let me see. I'm going to prove you wrong. All right? My wife knows without a shadow of a doubt there's absolutely nothing she can ever do that'll make me leave her. Because me staying with my wife isn't based upon what she does or don't do. It's based upon my commitment to her. My wife can do anything she wants. And I would never divorce her, never leave her. She can even try to leave me. She can try to divorce me. But I will always be committed to my wife. As long as there's a breath in her. That's my commitment. Because that's what God calls. Commitment isn't by what someone else does, is by what you did to commit. Yes, ma'am. Well, I just beat her up, but she'll be all right. You think a little white woman gonna whip me? What's wrong with you? I'm a funny dude. I'm a sick guy. Boy. She didn't know. She can say anything. I'm not going to leave her because It's not based on what she does or don't do. It's based on my commitment. Now, let me see if I can make a little suggestion to you. If my wife tried to kill me or turn on me and did things, whose fault was it for choosing her? Hers or mine? It's my fault. Because I didn't spend enough time to get to know what she's really like. The biggest problem with most marriages and people committing is you are more ready to jump in bed than to jump into an eternal relationship. Especially as Christians. Now, let me see. Now, suppose my wife knows that I will never leave her regardless. She goes, I got me a chocolate sucker. So I'm going to do what I want. Or, if I spend the time building a relationship, and she also loves me, what would she want to do with that type of commitment? Never heard it, and return it. Plus, it turns her free. Now, watch this. It turns her free from working on trying to keep me to wanting to please me. Most relationships is built on trying to keep the other person happy, trying to keep the other person satisfied with me. I spend more time worried about what I'm going to do to keep this together instead of just being free to please the person I'm in a relationship with. Now, that's what God had called relationships to be. Get a lady, man! Oh, no! Boom, boom! You know what I'm saying? Now, my wife, man, she knows that's a vanilla pussy boy. Leaving home too soon, girl, because you made me some loving. And if she gets close, something's going to be touched. Arm distance is automatic. Squish, 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 squish. Let me get an amen on that. High, 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 praise the Lord. Now, if you haven't paid the price, you keep your hand to yourself, yet. Now, if I know that God will never, ever leave me, I don't spend time trying to keep him satisfied with it. I don't fight about making sure I do 10 things today, get 10 checklists on the group. I'm going to have to go out and spend 2 years riding around on a bicycle. Trying to please the Lord. Because that's going to make it happier with me. I'm free from him ever leaving me. To just doing what it takes to please him. That's what eternal security is supposed to do for us. I'm not going to have to do 10 things to win my salvation, 20 things to keep my salvation and do it a day. Are you beginning to understand what the purpose of God giving you eternal security for? Because you think you can lose it, you are a miserable individual. Because you constantly got to ask yourself, did I do enough to lose it today? I wonder if I lost it. Ooh, is that sin enough to begin to put an X mark on me? Am I on God's black list? Why did they call it a white list? The pastor said, okay, now are you beginning to see why believers need to understand? It sets you free to serve God instead of trying to make sure you win him and you're going to get to heaven. Can anyone here tell me the number one religion that has the greatest teenage suicide? What is it? Mormons. The Mormon religion has more teenage suicides than any religion. Why? All else. All these things you gotta do. Freedom! brave heart. Listen, you gonna say something? I think he's gonna give up. We're just empowering the boy. Get out here. Freedom! That's what the Christians need to say. Oh, though he slay me, yet will I. Y'all know scripture? Yet will I. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Serve him! Why? Because Job realized all that pressure that was coming was totally controlled by God, and if God is doing it, he's got a great plan. I don't like it, but he's got a great plan. You're second. I think her out good. That's what she thought she was right now. Yeah, bro.
Why do so many Christians raise the
Why do so many Christians race to find out how we can lose it? Because we think it's some. Like, we don't like that. We've been taught that free is not good. We've been taught that, you know, work, get what you can what you get, and then sit on the can. Amen? That's what we've been taught. It's something that's totally free that you can never possess. I'm missing in that equation. I've got to be able to do something for this. That's what we call a gift. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to give you a gift, but you're going to have to cut my lawn for about 20 days in the next 4 months. At best, it's a trade, because you don't know what my gift's going to be. You cut my yard for 20 times, the best thing you're going to give is a handshake. That's a lot of lame of bro. Yo. Now, does that gift work? What you did?
No.
See, in the flesh, hold on. You can never do enough in the flesh to ever please the Holy God. Because you're starting from bad roots in the first place. You ever tried to grow a fruit tree from a rock? I mean, I want the person that tried that, I want to sell him some stuff I got. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you ought to try this rock right here. What kind of woman do you want? Oh, you want to buy this rock over here, huh? It'll grow up. How you gonna grow righteousness from total unrighteousness? How you gonna get life out of total death? It's got to be a gift. Starting off, everything against you. That's why God said I did it. All right. Yes, ma'am. That's because you're missing one link. Salvation is threefold. When you get salvation, you get it in a threefold purpose and way. You get salvation in the aspect that you have been saved from your past life. You are being saved as you're living your life on earth, and you will be saved when you leave here and get to heaven. So that's a threefold purpose that comes with salvation. Your sins are forgiven. When God forgives you of your sin, he forgives your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. That's why you cannot commit suicide and not go to heaven. That's what the Catholicism teaches. Because they say that's one sin you can't get forgiveness for. Well, if you're already forgiven for that sin before you did it. No! That's so bloody, isn't it? No. No. Someone not having to make it to heaven? Just for the winning roast. Ooh, nice in y'all. There's only one way to get salvation without Jesus Christ. There's one way to get salvation without going through Jesus. Anyone know what it is? Eternity in hell. Eternity in hell. You pay for your sins without Jesus Christ. But that's a long time to pay for a sin. know what I mean? Okay. Before we get into it, get your questions, because we're going to jump into it. It's going to be, we're going to start getting some heavy-duty stuff. We're going to show you, without a shadow of a doubt, what eternal security is and you can't lose it. Yes, ma'am. Yes. When he said, because God said, do it. Because it reminds you of the grace you got and the forgiveness you got. It puts you back in the right relationship. See, my daughter, if she does something, I said, Faith, well, that's a terrible thing to name a kid, you know what I mean? Oh, I lost my faith. I said, hey, here's Daddy. Won't you go out there and take that trash out like I asked you? Okay, Dad. She doesn't do it. She sins. She missed the mark and then beat it to me. Now, because she did that, does that make her less my daughter? Is she still my daughter? Even if she decides she don't want to be my daughter anymore. She's still my daughter. She's born into that. So we are born into being a Christian. Regardless of what you want to do, you can't do it. But what has happened between my daughter and I when she sinned? Relationship's been hurt. Still my daughter. And we got rules in the house on how she gets those relationship right and things she has to do to get them right. Now, don't make her less my daughter, but it'll make me talk to her again. If my kids sin or not doing right, I go silent on them. I want to teach them, and I won't respond until they come and get it right. Because I want to teach them exactly what God does when they sin in front of Him. He goes silent on you. He won't talk with you, won't listen to your prayers until you make it right and get forgiveness. Because He said that. Now, does that help? Okay, good. Alright, are we ready to flow? Fight! Just a second. Yes, ma'am.
So, if I show
the
father's daughter,
yes, ma'am. The only thing you can, the question is, since you can't hear, you can't hear. The question is, can I be disinherited? Are you being disinherited from your salvation? Are you being disinherited from crowns you can get as a daughter? See, you can't be disinherited from your salvation because God has said, I never take it from you. So that is law. You don't have to worry about it. But what you can miss out on when you're disobedient is pleasing God for that time who earns your crown, and in earning crowns and rewards, they're not for us because they're the only thing that as believers we're going to be able to give back to Christ when we go for the 7 years of being judged by our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 14. Okay? So that's what we miss out on. That's what we lose during our times of rebellion. Now just think about it. God has given us this free gift. He's died. He's paid the price. He's done everything to make us right. Nothing you can do. The only thing we're going to be able to give God back is our life after we become a Christian that He lived through us. Okay? Yeah, bro.
The last time we had a class, you were experiencing how. And just great. I don't know if it's now, if you want to be later, but sometimes you feel so.
Sure, just remind me when we get down to the eternal judgment aspect, okay? The best I can come up with, my best definition I can come up with, biblically, of what hell is going to be like. Okay? And you do not want your worst enemies to go. I promise you that.
Who is that scripture that you gave us, 1 Corinthians what?
3. 10 through 14. What do you want to do? Check and see if I'm right? It's about you're going to lose your rewards. At worst, you can lose your rewards, but you yourself will be saved. They'll test your works by fire, wood, hay, stubble, or silver, gold, precious stones, and you will be saved, but you can lose all your works. Okay? That's 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 14. So it's nothing you can do to lose your salvation after you get it because it's not based. Listen to this. Your salvation is not based upon what you did or didn't do. It's based on God's commitment to you. Okay? Okay. Eternal security begins with God. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I mean, we're glad it starts with God. Now, if it's something you cannot get, only God can give it to you. Is it something that you can do to get rid of it? See what I'm saying? So you got to understand that. We're going to walk through this, I mean, verse by verse, talk by talk. John 6:44, someone look that up for me. Romans 8:8-9, we'll look that up. Okay, bro, you got that one? Who got John 6:44? Okay, Mark. Let's see if that those will be good enough. All right, read them out loud. 6:44.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Right here in Romans 10, no. Right in Romans 3, 10 through 17. Prove this point that if God don't bring you, call you, you can't come. You know what I'm talking about that? So it begins with God. 8:8-9.
So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not here.
Yeah. Okay. He is not his. Right? If the Spirit's not in you, you don't belong to God. So the only way you can begin to belong to God is God's Spirit decides to move in you. Check that out. When he moves in, he says, I have taken a permanent residence. That's why we know that when the Antichrist comes, we'll talk about this a little bit when we get to over to Revelation, the last two classes or so. When the Antichrist comes, the Holy Spirit's got to be removed out of here in order for him to be revealed. As long as the Holy Spirit is here, he is restrained. He can't be revealed. So the Holy Spirit's got to be pulled out of here in order for the Antichrist to be revealed. Now, if he indwells us permanently and will never leave us or forsake us, Hebrews 10:25. Okay? What is that? Right. Yeah, I think so. Look it up. See it in there. If he won't leave us, and boom, we're pulled out of here, where must believers go when the Holy Spirit is pulled out? We gotta go with him. Because if he leaves us, he just made himself a liar. If he's a liar, you can't trust him in anything. Can I get an amen on that? Are we having some fun yet? So post-trippers have a real difficult time explaining some of these verses. Was that right?
No, it's 13:5.
Thank you. It's Hebrews 13:5. 10:25. That's one about forsaking not together. Is that what it is? Okay. 13:5. Thank you very much, bro. And who wants to read that? 13:5. Hebrews 13:5.
Keep your lives free from the love of money and be careful with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.
He says, even if someone say, I leave you, I won't forsake you. If I won't forsake you, why am I going to leave you? God can not forsake a long distance, but it's a lot easier if he's back there with you. Can I get an amen on that? Talking about it. It's just God. Eternal security begins with God. Check this out. Now, see if I can break it down for you. What I want you to do is vision. Vision. When you use your imagination, salvation starts right here. Everyone looking. I just made a lie, right? What did I just lie about? Salvation starts right here. How can it start right here if you don't have a beginning? Okay. Once you move into salvation, you move into eternality. Come on, class. It's not that hard, is it? See, as a non-believer, you have everlasting life. As a Christian, you have eternal life. The minute you step out of the physical world, you move out of that which is physical. You move into that which is spiritual. Spiritual life, salvation, gives you eternal life. Eternal life don't begin with you and go on. Eternal life means you step into God. Oh, smoking. Now hold on to your hat. Now eternal life starts eternity past, and it runs through here, on through, and it keeps going. You see it? You gotta put it in there. It came through here. So it has to come through here because we're here.
Yeah.
We're part of now of eternal life. See? Now, question. Right here, eternal life has a break in it. If it has a break in it, it can't be eternal life. Huh? Because it was temporary life. And then it can start back life. Can't hear you. By definition, if I stepped into eternal, I could have a break. Because if I can lose it, eternal life has to do what? Stop. How can that which is eternal stop? Talk to me. So, if you can believe, you can lose your salvation. You really can't get it until the moment you die. I understand what I just said. You get it? Okay, now listen. If you can lose your salvation, or you believe you can lose your salvation, you can't get eternal life until the moment you die. Because the moment you got it, it's eternal. And eternal doesn't have a break or stop or in and out. I don't know what to say about this. Am I making it difficult? I'm trying to make it plain, easy. By definition, when you use words, you got to use the same words God uses. And you got to use the same definitions and meaning that God uses. If you've been there on Sunday, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. We're going through what be your attitudes, beatitudes. And if you're going to understand the beatitudes, what is the definition of God's definition of a Christian, you got to use the same words and you got to use the same meanings. So God's meaning of eternal life is eternal life. God's definition of eternal life is not living forever. You know that? God don't classify eternal life as living forever. Are we through it? All right, you got to go. I don't know if I want you to prove that, Pastor. I think I'd rather, you know, ignorance is bliss.
You got it, baby. You're white, guy.
You got that. Now, ignorance is bliss sometimes, right? Someone look up John 17:3. Write this down from here. John 17:3. Put that on your books. Is this new stuff for you? Not yet? Okay. John 17:3. Where are we? Yes, brother. Oh, we got to the church, didn't we? We stopped right before the church.
We got to the church.
Right. And then we started the church because we didn't do it. Excellent. All right. Who, I saw him, right? 17:3. Read it real loud. Check this out.
And this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God, Jesus Christ, and now his
Son. Okay. So according to that verse, what is eternal life?
Knowing God.
And it takes eternally to get to know God. Because he is infinite and incomprehensible. If he's incomprehensible, there's always something you should comprehend about it, and then find out there's more that you don't comprehend.
Yeah, smoke it! Woo! Woo!
If he could be understood, we'd call him George. Bob, Mary Sue. I told the other class about when I was on that class about God, and I tell you, with Susan Powder and Al Franken, we had that political incorrect show.
Is God a woman?
I said, hey, you don't even argue about it. If God is a woman, then she is smart enough to make men in control. shut down the whole show for some reason. Amen. Get her at home. She knew that. Woo, boy, that got us some literary spark going on. Excuse me. I should enjoy this very much. This is Bible stuff. All right. Yes, we're God. Are we rolling? Okay. Depends on God. What? Wait a minute now. Where's our responsibility here? I don't like this God business. I want to have some control over this. I be bad. I should have something in this stuff. 1 Peter 1:5, who will read that? 1 Peter 1:5, need someone to read. You got it? Okay. Who will read Ephesians 2? Ooh, that's a long one, isn't it? Anyone got a big Bible? I don't have my glasses. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, I'll read that one. Okay. Who will read 1 Peter 1:5? Someone look it up. We've got...
Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time.
Eternal security is based upon the only one that has the capability of holding it. If God moves in you, gives you eternal life, he says he's going to make sure you never lose it. Doesn't that make a big difference? Most people who think you can lose your salvation centers on what you can and can't do. Will center on, if I do this particular sin, I'm going to lose it. In other words, we put it on our shoulders to have to keep it. And when did God ever say that? Never. Ever. John chapter 10 says, my Father and I are one. No one can take you out of my Father's hands. And my Father and I both have you in our hands. We are one. If someone can come along and get you out of the Father's hand, you can't get it out of both of us. What? Let me ask you a question. When I lock you in a cell, can you jump out? When I lock you in the cell, can you jump out? I don't care. Ain't no maybe in it. No. God's been saying he's holding you in his hand with an open hand. I mean, if he's an open hand, anyone can get you out. Even you. He's holding you in his hand. Holding. H-O-L-D-I-N-G. Thank you. That's tough on an athlete, man. Let me tell you. That's tough on all athletes. That's two sessions in there. Holding. He's not there. Oh, dangling. Oops. God don't have what? No oops. Well, God is got you locked in. Romans chapter 8. Verses 28-36. Nothing can separate you from the power of God. Not heights, not depths, not darkness, not light, not principalities. Nothing. Anyone know what nothing means? Nothing. How about even in Greek? Nothing. It means a zero with the rim kicked off. Nothing. Not even you. It says, not even any other created thing. Are you created? Are you a creation of God? Talk to me because you need to get this. You are a creation of God. You can't even get yourself out. Smoke it. Romans 8, 28 through 36. 34, 35, 36 is the one that really says it. But you need to get, what is more than a conqueror? Inside those same verses it says, as a believer, when we have our salvation, we become more than conquerors. What does more than conqueror mean? Anyone? No chance. More than a conqueror means you can never be conquered. No possibility of ever being defeated. In his salvation, you can't be defeated out of his salvation. Heart, King James, we're pretty locked in. Okay? Are we smoking now? Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. These are some little big words, boy. Okay. As for you, you were dead to your trespasses, to transgressions, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful natures and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature objects of wrath. Check this out. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of the grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can what? Boast. For we are God's what? Workmanship. Ooh, I skipped all the way over. Workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Can anyone here tell? Don't stop the word. Can anyone here tell me? How are you going to get out of God's good workmanship? Even when you sin, he beat you to death by guilt and bring you back. And if he says, okay, you don't want to do it, no problem. He kills you and takes you to heaven so you fulfill it. Oh! That's a sin unto death. That's just smoking. Am I the only one excited about this? Okay. Appreciate it. I like people to help the pastor out. Well, this working man is so big. Didn't see it that way this time. Amen. Depends on God. Starts with God and cannot be lost. This is that 1 Corinthians 10. 3:10 through 15. Anyone got a Bible with bigger words? Oh, good gracious. Woo-hoo! Would you hold that back at the door? I can read it from here. All right. It's a good thing I looked at that before I started reading, Joanne. He had verse 3 of chapter 10.
Well, the numbers are big.
I love it because she's got it underlined. Check this out. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians 3. Now this is, we gotta walk this one, alright? Now we gotta walk this because this lays out the most solid biblical truth about salvation, winning, losing, or whether you can or can't. Just, I mean, you can't get better than this. Okay? According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, Paul is talking, I have laid the foundation, which is Jesus Christ now, and another builds on it. That is, you become a Christian, the life you have after you get salvation, you start building on the foundation by what you do or don't do. So, the day you became a Christian, you started building your Christian building that you're going to give to God. Everyone's flowing with me? You build a life after you become a Christian. Everything you say, everything you do, every action you take, everything you don't do builds a building. You will be accounted for every word that comes forth out of your mouth since you've been a Christian. That's what you're building. Oh! Ooh, get out them pants, Pastor. Now check this out. But let each one, yes, even guys with little polos on this shirt. But let each one take heed, isn't it this, how he builds on it. As a Christian, you are not going to ever be held accountable for your salvation, the foundation. You're going to be held accountable for what you did after you became a Christian. Everyone flowing with me? Okay, watch this. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid already, which is Jesus Christ. I am the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't build another foundation. If you got that foundation, that's solid. Okay? Everyone knows if you're going to build, what do you got to have first? You better have a solid foundation. Build it on the sand. Build it on the rock. Solid. You didn't know the biblical was the brother, did you? Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, God says, everything you do after you become a Christian, every action, every thought, every word, every movement, every lack of a movement, every lack of a word that you should have spoken but you didn't, is going to build on that foundation. It takes a God to keep up with all that. Oh, I thought he'd forget that one. That earth, and somebody died. You just built on your foundation. Stupid idiot. Can't hear you. You go, God, hear me by your spirit. And you go, oop. You hiccup under the spirit. It's good. Y'all look at me like a mess. Check it out. This is smoking. Are we flowing? I like flowing. You like flowing? Watch this. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. What is the sort? What's got to be sorted out? What's everything you do has got to be sorted out to one or two categories. What are they? Treasure or trash? Who said that? Smoking mama. That may be treasure in your trash. Ooh, that sounds like a sermon. It's going to be classified as treasure, everything you've done, or it's going to be classified as trash. It's going to be gold, silver, precious stones, or it's going to be classified as wood, hay, or stubble. Anyone know what happens when you put fire? It's going to be tested by fire. Anyone know what happens when you put fire to gold, silver, and precious stones? Purifies. You know what happens to wood, hay, and stubble when you put the fire of heaven to it? Burns up. Can I get an amen on that? You see what's going to happen? I can just picture this right now. Okay, come on, what's your picture with me? Okay? Picture it with me. Picture it! With me! Picture it, baby. I can see it right now. I'm going to get up in line, waiting for God to test out my works. Right behind me, it's going to be Bill Steele. She's standing right behind me. And I'm going to look over at my works, and I'm going to say, Bill! Check out. Check out that little Everest over there, baby. Where's yours, Bill? Ooh. Your name tag almost covered it up. I see, yeah. But you know, it's good you're here, baby. That's what counts. That's good. It's just good to hear, baby. You know what I'm saying? So, the closer I get to God, the more I start noticing my Mount Everest. It's got some wood in it. I get a little closer. There's a bunch of hay. Oh, dry hay. Then I get real close, and right underneath is a bunch of little kindling. And God looks at me and says, let's test it.
No, I don't think God, you know, Jesus, the most important thing is I'm here.
Yeah, that's important, but if there's anything left, you're going to give that back to me. That's your gift to me, Hutch. Can we skip it? Because you know I love you. All right? God said, no, the words I got to test it. This! Lord, that hurt you. Come on in, boy. You can go sweep the pools. Then I'm going to look back, you know, because your brother's got to look back. I'm going to look back at Bill and you know that little the mound he had, his name tag covered up. It was all gold and silver, precious stone. God said, hey, Bill, you got stuff left. You can give the gift back to me. Now, does it matter the size? Or does it matter the sort? See, what is classified as wood, hay, and stubble? Anything you do on your own. What's classified as gold, silver, and precious stones? Anything God did through you. When you were controlled by a spirit, He did it. Produces stones, precious stone, silver, gold. The pure and fine fire of God don't leave nothing. And I think what God's going to do when they say He's going to wipe the tears from our eyes when we get to heaven, is there ain't going to be no tears in heaven. Well, He's going to wipe them away. There's got to be something before He wipes away. Can you get an amen on that? Amen. What I can understand by studying scripture is what God's going to do is He's going to show you where you are and what you accomplished and everything you did before He writes it out. And then He's going to show you what He had planned for you to be. Ephesians 2:10. And when we see what we could have been compared to what we were, we're going to cry. He's going to wipe your tears away. That's going to be good. Oh. I should have known that was yours. You kept leaning that way while I was trying to read. Cannot be what? Now listen to what it says. The next verse it says, it's going to be tested by fire. And that which is not silver, gold, precious stone is going to be what? Burned up. You will suffer loss, but you yourself will be saved. That's what it says. Now, according to that verse, everything you've done is going to be tested. That which isn't gold, silver, precious stone is going to be burned up. But you yourself will suffer the loss of what you have done, but you yourself will be saved, because salvation was the foundation, not on what you did or didn't do afterwards. Eternal security is the foundation. Not what you do. You can lose everything you've ever did and still have security of your salvation. Now you gotta understand something. Right, I gotta preach on today. That would be with me in paradise. Huh? That man died on the cross without ever having to work. If salvation was dependent on what you could and couldn't do, God couldn't have never promised him that. He's going to walk into heaven, God's going to say, no worries. You all right. You ain't got nothing to burn up. Unless he messed up just before he died. Man, I'm saying, get me down from here, Jesus. God, oh, here's one. You got some. Wow! Yeah. I'm having fun. I ain't fun. But this is good stuff. Gotta live with peace. See, internal salvation, internal security, when you know you can't lose it, it should bring a peace upon you that passes all understanding to keep your mind in Christ Jesus. It's a vicious circle I don't mind being in. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Deborah. Okay. Why don't you read Romans 15, 13? But Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is the vicious circle. You write that down. It is the vicious circle that every Christian should want to be in. The peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus brings you back to the peace that passes understanding. And it's a vicious circle of concentrating on God, the peace, knowing you can't lose it. Can I get an amen? Smoke it. Yes. Romans 15, 13.
Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
God says, why in the world can a Christian ever walk around with a long face? It's because he's not controlled. It's because he's not content. Contentment is what?
Joy.
Having joy where you are. And being satisfied with the speed of God moving you to a new place. You never make a wrong decision based on impatience. Okay. We had a barbecue. Usually we have it the last Saturday in June at my crib of lattice. And like I said, we promised to launch your dogs out. Except if you try to, if you lose your cook-off. Well, I should say if you win your cook-off, because I'm not worried about that. I will hire me a professional before I leave. Sounds good. Never perish. You will never perish. Just the fact, if eternal means eternal, when does the Bible say we get eternal life? When? The moment you accept Jesus starts your eternal life, getting to know God. If eternal life starts the moment you accept Jesus Christ, by definition, when can you lose it? That's why you look at Romans, and when you look at Hebrews chapter 5, and it says that if that person can lose it, they can never get it back. You got to understand what it's saying there, right? Because it contradicts. If Hebrews 6 is right, that's Hebrews 6, yeah. Hebrews 6, 1 through 4. If Hebrews 6, 1 through 4 is right, it makes 1 John 1, 9 a lie. If 1 John 1, 9 is the truth, if you confess your sins and be faithful and just forgive you of all your sins, then that makes Hebrews 6 a lie to say you can lose your salvation because you can't get it back, you can't get forgiven for that. So there's only one answer, biblically. It does say it. Oh, Hebrews 6 doesn't say it, but it doesn't say it to how we think it says it. It's saying to the Jews who have become believers, who is thinking about this Christian life is much too hard. And we're thinking about going back to the Jewish system just to play it safe. There's five warnings in the book of Hebrews to Jewish Christians who is thinking about going back to being Jews again. And Paul, which I think is the author, and people don't believe that, but I think Paul's the author of the book of Hebrews, is warning them that if you can think about going back, you may not have never had it in the first place. That's one warning. And number two, if you think you can lose it, you can never get it back because that means crucifying Christ twice. So, I mean, he just, there's a whole theological aspect that he lays out that you cannot get past that there is a contradiction every way except for one. You can't lose it. Okay? You can't lose it because of the Savior's blood. Guys, if you can lose your salvation, Jesus' blood was not enough. Can we stop here? We'll stop here and go next week and then go into the church. This is very important for us always to make sure we die. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have just to study your word. Nothing is better than your word. Amen. Yeah. What people try to.